Again, medical education listeners, this is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal. Today I have the great pleasure of reaching out to South Africa. We understand the temperature is a little bit different than the 3 degrees we have here in Vancouver at the moment. It's 32 degrees Celsius, I understand, down the bottom of the African continent. I have a great opportunity to speak with Susan Van Schalkwyk, who is a professor and director of the Center for Health Professional Education at Stellenbosch University. And her colleague, Julia Blitz, who's Professor Emeritus, also at Stellenbosch University. And we're going to talk about a paper that they have coming out in the March 2024 issue of Medical Education, entitled Curriculum Renewal Towards Critically Conscious Graduates, Implications for Faculty Development. Despite the heat, Susan and Julia, thanks for making the time.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Susan, I'll maybe just start with you, because I understand this paper is part of a larger research program that you're continuing to lead at Stellenbosch. Would you mind giving our listeners a bit of an overview of the bigger context?
Thanks, Kevin. Yes, the bigger project is actually finished now, but it was started in 2018. And the focus of the larger project was really to look at curriculum renewal and curriculum renewal with a very specific focus in terms of going beyond the biomedical content of curricula to really think about what, and these were my words in the early days, what are the philosophical principles that underpin the curriculum? And we've come a long way since using those words. But at the time, what was really important, I felt, given the ongoing call in the literature for work in health professions education to be more grounded theoretically, but also more longitudinal in terms of its focus and intent, I went about finding someone who could lead a 5-year project. And we drew in 6 universities across South Africa, because I really felt it was important to generate a body of work that would be sufficiently strong that we could make claims about these really important issues. And from there, the whole project evolved. We conducted upwards of 100 interviews and focus group discussions, well, with upwards of 100 people at least across the 6 institutions. And there have been multiple publications and different sets of work, both from within the individual institutions and then cross-institutionally. And I think a recurring theme in all of this was, okay, it's fine, we change the curriculum, that has implications for what is taught and how it is taught, but then where is the educator in all of this? And that is really when Julia and I started asking questions about what this means for faculty development and who supports the teacher when the teacher is being expected to engage with really, really difficult constructs like social justice, for example.
And Julia, what lured you in? I used the title Professor Emeritus to introduce you. This is technically a retirement phase for you. What was it that made it so you couldn't resist?
I had an involvement at Stellenbosch in the renewal of the medical curriculum in particular. And so I was acutely aware of the changes that we were asking people to participate in and then to deliver. And we started having discussions with the Stellenbosch educators in an effort to just kind of monitor how they were feeling around the curriculum renewal process. In that, we learned a whole lot of things, which I think did go to inform the big project. But one of them was the fact that they completely bought into the new trends or new avenues or new places that we were going in the curriculum, including the aspects of social justice. But they really expressed having no sound idea of how to do it. And I think as soon as an educator says, I don't know how to do this, it's incumbent upon faculty developers to step into that space and say, well, we'll give this a go, because I think that's kind of what our main remit has been. So I think that that's kind of what sucked me in. And then I think what took us to this particular paper was reading all these focus groups and interviews. I mean, this paper just focuses on these 2 Stellenbosch programs. But reading the interviews across all the institutions, the issue really interested Susan and I as to what were they saying about the kind of help that they needed? Were they identifying anything? Was it content? Was it process? What was being said about that? And so we started exploring the existing data specifically for that angle.
Yes. I think just picking up on that, though, was what was really fascinating was that people were looking for the opportunity to feel as if they belonged with a group of like-minded persons. So I think if you're an educator in the context of a big department and you're trying to effect change, it can be a very lonely space. And what we saw was a call for the faculty development role to create opportunities where like-minded persons across the faculty could get together and just talk about thoughts around social justice, these discussions about equity and social accountability and being socially responsive and being critically conscious. They're all words that many people said that, what do these words even mean? And how do we even understand how our colleagues are interpreting them? And in one of the other papers, there's a quote about the coalition of the willing. That was actually a quote from one of our respondents. We need to get those people together. And that completely shifts the dynamic. Very often in faculty development, it's about you've got this issue with problem-based learning or with progress testing or whatever it is. And so we'll have a conversation. This is what it is. This is where it comes from. These are the theories it draws on. This is why it's good. This is some of the pitfalls and so on and so forth. And so is the event. What we were seeing here was a need for something completely different. And going into conversations where, as a faculty developer, we ourselves end up being very vulnerable. Because where do we stand on all of these things? And how prepared are we to expose our blind spots, personal biases, and to actually put them out there on the table? So I think there was a lot of not only an extended remit, but also a different remit for faculty development work.
And I think as you were talking about the desire to have conversations with like-minded people, I think that also sparked a challenge, because it's all very well having conversations with like-minded people. At least you know they're like-minded and you're creating a little kind of support group, as it were, and you know where you can go for safer conversations. But I think it's the obligation of the faculty developer to take it outside of that, to spread that beyond the like-minded people, and to then challenge those who, yes, might not even be familiar with the vocabulary, let alone have the confidence to actually engage in such conversations with people that they don't actually know. So yes, a very vulnerable space for faculty developers.
And having spoken with them about what they were going through and what they needed and where they were less comfortable and all those things, I imagine they made suggestions for how faculty development needed to change and how they could be better positioned to overcome some of those fears, challenges, otherwise. To not to move too quickly into implications, but what guidance did they offer in terms of how they could be better supported to think about these issues of critical consciousness?
Yeah, so I think some of the things that were very clearly stated was to be able to engage in conversation, so a dialogic space to be created. The second one was that it was based on groups, so not individual activities. And thirdly, that it was longitudinal, so that it wasn't just a once-off thing, but that it could be something that really was built with others over time through conversations.
Sitting around all of this, of course, was always that this could not happen in a vacuum, and that institutional culture, institutional policies, and institutional mandates would really create the space for these sorts of dialogic engagements. And what's, of course, very interesting in the South African context is that we're lucky in a sense in that these issues are out there and they're on the agenda and they are almost in our faces all the time. So that is advantageous in that it doesn't mean we have to try and push to get onto an agenda. It really then becomes about how do we engage within that agenda? And then, I mean, again, the role for faculty developer to also then push back against structures and policies and systems that are not enabling those sorts of conversations because we are being encouraged to have them. So this is not working at departmental level when there's that additional responsibility to talk back. But maybe I'm thinking now, Julia, that one of the fourth things spoke to the need for people to be explicit. And we all know this to be true. When you're in any conversation and the topic veers to something that feels less comfortable, then people use words that are less explicit and use sentences that are less clear, precisely because that sort of helps you to cover all your bases if you take a step in the wrong direction. And what our respondents were saying is we need to be explicit. We need to be specific. We need to be clear about what these things all mean. But then on the other hand, recognizing that we're not all going to agree with each other. You know, I think that was also quite a strong message.
You have me thinking a bit about what comes first, the mandate or the dialogue. And you've both alluded now to people who were less comfortable, not of the same mind, etc. And one of the common challenges for faculty developers the world over is even just getting people into the room if they're not, you know, coming in implicitly interested in the topic and needing to develop their own professional skills. It sounds to me as though you were able to get a much more diverse group of people into the conversation. And I wonder if you can speak a bit to that, how you managed to even get the non-believers, so to speak, engaged.
I wouldn't like to claim that we've done the faculty development that needs to be done with regards to this. So I think we had a bit of a lucky break in some ways in that we decided to interview everyone who had a role in the curriculum renewal. That's why there were so many participants in the end. And the invitation to a focus group or an interview was to discuss curriculum renewal. It wasn't to discuss social justice or equity. And so I think that we got to the place of those conversations within the research discussions because the curricula, particularly as you said, as being South African curricula, these are things we really need to attend to. So I think we had different opinions in the focus groups as well, and different opinions in the interviews. And it's almost as though it would be so wonderful to capture exactly that diversity in faculty development activities. I don't know. It's 3 years since I left Stellenbosch, so I don't know. Susan would know if there's been an attempt to hold a faculty development workshop on how to deliver conversations with students about social justice. I don't know if that's happened yet. But yeah, so I think it is a matter of trying to make it safe for people to come in. Because as I said, nobody thought that this was a bad idea to include this in the curriculum, despite their differences of opinion and despite differences of opinion about the emphasis that should be placed on it. Nobody thought that it shouldn't be there. And so I think that was a lucky break in terms of having these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, I mean, everyone agreed that it was important. Not everyone thought it was their responsibility, but that was another conversation. But if one really wants to make a difference as far as these very complex issues are concerned, there has to be a holistic approach. And I mean, everyone rolls their eyes at that word holistic, but if there's a better word, it has to be a systemic, again, I don't know if I like that word, ecological. It has to come from multiple vantage points. And we're very lucky at the moment in that although we are not necessarily running workshops on how to engage your students in conversations around social justice, we have a whole transformation initiative within the faculty that is doing precisely that. So these different aspects of renewal across the faculty then start speaking to one another. And of course, it's important then that those of us who are or key role players in these different initiatives also speak to each other. And I think that has been really exciting to see. One of our team members has just completed her PhD, where she has looked at all of this from the student perspective. So again, another body of information and knowing and conversation that is being fed into the bigger pot, so to speak. And we've now just been asked to share all of this work at an institutional seminar that's being specially arranged. So I think these things maybe start slowly and then build momentum as you work with the coalition of the willing in many ways. And as Julia said, we were very lucky because the research was aligned with the actual renewal process. People who were responsible for implementing the renewed curriculum were really feeling a little bit lost. And so they actually grasped the opportunity to just speak to people about, what are we going to do next week, literally. I mean, that's not all in the paper, obviously, so we're going probably a little bit off track, sorry.
No, not at all. That's why we're having a conversation about it, because I think it does help to enrich the paper and provide more understanding. But it is actually a very good place for us to wrap up, I think, because the paper does have a rich set of insights that I think those working in any area of faculty development, not just trying to improve critical consciousness curricula, can learn from. And so the best we can do in this brief conversation is recommend that people take a look at the details that are in the article. The abstract actually ends with a challenge that as faculty developers, we turn the mirror on ourselves. And I think that's exactly what you've done in writing this paper in the way that you did, is help people to do that. So I'll suggest that those of you with interest go and look at the details in Curriculum Renewal Towards Critically Conscious Graduates, Implications for Faculty Development. You'll find it in the March 2024 issue of Medical Education, written by Susan Van Schalkwyk and Julia Blitz. Thank you both once again for taking the time to talk, and congratulations on an impressive piece of work.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.